This club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
You win it, the new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But you never give in. That's a winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I am John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How you doing? How you doing? Manchester United 2. Wolverhampton Wanderers won, sir. The last game of the season didn't matter at all. United already secured second place. Got to pay attention to the other games happening around us. Leicester blow it again. You love to see it. But either way, how we doing? How we feeling?
Sir, last game of the English Premier League season. We got a big game coming up, sir. Hans and Franz Cup, everything to play for. Look, the kids played. We beat Wolves. A lot of good moments in this game. You know, maybe not the most exciting game. We were kind of watching. Had my laptop going with the Chelsea, Tottenham, Leicester, and the Scouse Bashers. Unfortunately for United fans, I would like to have seen Leicester unseat Chelsea scum, have them get beat in the Champions League final, sir. Like you said, just maybe it's because we have a friend who's a Chelsea fan. He doesn't stop yapping, but I don't like Chelsea for whatever reason.
There's a lot of teams dislike as a Manchester United fan. You got a lot of rivals. That's the thing. When you're the biggest dog in town, there are going to be a lot of people chomping at your heels. And I think it's something to do with the timing of when we became United fans, 04, 05, 06, kind of the Mourinho era, the beginning of his reign at Chelsea and then becoming a team. That's why I hate him the most of all the teams. I know it should be Liverpool first, then City, and then everybody else. But for me, it's always those blues. I hate Chelsea, hate the fans, hate the club, hate the owner, hate the coach.
For me, it's like I hate the Scouse Bastards the most. When it comes to Chelsea, it's more that we've had a recent like seasonal rivalry with them. We're fighting with them for top four last season, and they seem to always be getting away with it in some way, sir. You know, like losing to Aston Villa and then having Tottenham bail them out is like the most Chelsea thing ever because they think they're the best club of all time. They're literally like skidding in with the wheels falling off. They're probably going to get just completely dominated in a final, but they think Thomas Tuchel, whatever that Joker's name is like the best thing since sliced bread, even though they're going to fire him next season. So, you know, I think it's the fans that get me riled up and just the circumstances about it. But hey, this is a Manchester United podcast, sir. This isn't who we hate the most pod, although we probably yap about it quite a bit. United, the kids looking good. And actually, you know, it's nice to watch the last game of the season and not be worried about top four, right? It's better to watch these clowns fight for it.
It's totally right. You know, it's nice to have – you look at the starting 11, there's a lot of big names missing for Manchester United, a lot of players getting rest, i.e. Pogba, Bruno Fernandes, not even anywhere near the squad. But it's nice to go into a game and not have to worry about it. You know, the season's pretty much dusted for us. Second is confirmed. But it's good to finish with a win. It's good to see some of the youngsters get a run out. Alanga get a great goal. Mata kind of finishing his reign at Manchester United with a penalty. Love to see it. All class getting the winner. And a good assured performance from the back. You know, Twanzebe and Bailly fighting for a spot. Who's going to be fit to play along? Lindelof, it's not going to be Maguire. Doesn't look like it. I don't think he's going to make it for the final on Wednesday. But we do have a final. Like you said, it's not the last game of the season. Last game of the EPL season. I love all the games at the same time. There's something about that where like you don't really know how it's going to fully settle until the very last whistle is blown across the 10 fixtures. I love it. Love the Premier League. Love this squad. So a lot to fight for. Good season altogether from United. I would have wished we were a little bit closer to those City Blues in the title race. Should have been closer than 12 points for sure if you look at some of the points dropped. But either way, building block season. It's all about strengthening this summer. John Murtaugh, most important man in Manchester. He's got a big job to do. Oof. I don't envy him.
Absolutely. And, you know, a big highlight here. Manchester United, with that result, sir, become just the third team to go an entire Premier League season unbeaten away from home. That's huge. And to win today with kids and get some debuts in there, you know, that's good for United. It's good for Ole. That's what the last game of the season when you kind of clinch, you know, top four, maybe not clinch. We'd much rather be clinching titles. When you should kind of clinch, it's like let the kids have a run. That's what Manchester United should be about. They wore the zebras, sir. You know, might as well. End of that kit, the zebra kit, sir. What do you make of the zebra kit? You going to miss it?
I like the zebra kit. I like, I don't often like anything to do with Adidas or Chevrolet as associated with Manchester United. But I thought the zebra kit, we had some good memories. Certainly Cavani, number 7. I think there's a possibility. I don't, you know. I think Villarreal are yellow, so maybe we could go zebra, but maybe go red. I don't know what they're going to play in the final. Red. I would think probably red. But either way, I did like the zebra. We had some good memories, some great comebacks. We thumped PSG earlier in the season. Didn't end up mattering at all. But definitely, you know, that's a kit of the three. Definitely my favorite kit.
But, sir, it's been a hell of a ride. I mean, let's just say 38 games in the Premier League. We thought we were in a title race in January. I mean, Everton, our buddy who's an Everton fan, he thought they were winning the title after the first week. LOL.
Where did they finish?
Look, it's a long season. Pod never sleeps, sir. We've been here through every single match. And as a United fan, you know, I feel content with the performance in the English Premier League. I'm going to say I think we did everything we needed to. We had two games that were rough in 2 days towards the end, but finishing with an away win against Wolves I thought was clutch, especially with the youngsters. Hopefully that gives Ole some more confidence rotating next season. But I see a strong team. I see strong academy coming through. And with the right additions in this summer, we can really kick on. And I actually think compete next season with Man City. We'll get into it in the news about who we might be bringing in to be able to compete. I'm sure we're going to differ on that front, but I really think United, if business is done with intent to win the EPL title, we are in a good position right now because we have a strong squad. I mean, we were talking about just the depth at right wing, kind of where we think that is today versus where it was at the start of the season. And, you know, Ahmad's looking fire, all the youth at United really kicking on, sir, and a lot to break down. Quick PSA for the podcast. If you listen to America Red Devils, we are for fans by fans. This is not the season recap podcast. Obviously, we got the big final coming up this week, sir. And then about a week later, you're going to be on vacay, but we're going to be breaking it down via remote podcast. We do the full season recap, sir. Then we have our end of the season survey where we give away next season's Manchester United jersey. Just because we like to hear feedback about the podcast. So look out for that on social media as well. But if you want to support us, you can do so via Patreon. Visit our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. We give away pins, stickers, scarves, shirts, everything in between. You want to support us, you can do anything from $1 a month to $20 a month. It keeps the lights on here at the podcast. And a big shout out to Ramon Juarez, who just became a new Patreon member. You guys are the true MVPs. You keep this small-time operation running. So we have no sponsors. We think Patreon's the best way to support us. If Patreon's not your thing, check out our website, www.AmericanRedDevils.com. Click on store. We have great merchandise. We have the $9.99 Glazers Out sale, scarves, shirts, stickers, you name it. It's all on sale if it's Glazers Out. We also have our amazing 2021 scarf that's on sale as well, season-ending sale. So I think there's only 25 left in stock. Almost sold all 100, so get them while they last. That's limited edition. They will not be available next season. Sir, tell them about iTunes reviews.
iTunes reviews are a great way to support the pod, and they don't cost a single dollar. This is what you have to do. Write a 5-star review on iTunes. If it's cheeky, even better. And send a screenshot to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, and we will send you some free Stanley Chow design stickers to your door ASAP, Rocky. Like we said, it's a great way for us to be found organically. Great way to support the pod without spending any money. And support the greatest pod in the world, supporting the greatest team in the world, Manchester United. Sir, it's a big summer coming up. Big game on Wednesday to kind of finish the season strong on a high. Ready for our first final under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. How are you feeling about that?
Woo! Like I said, sir, it's a must win. We got to be winning this match. It comes down to who is Ole going to start. And obviously, we're going to be previewing this match on this podcast, and we will get into that lineup debate big time, my man. But before we do that, let's jump into the match. Wolves 1, Manchester United 2 at the Molineux Stadium. The last game of the season, sir. Fans are back. It's great to even see the Wolves fans back. The boo in the VAR. You love to see it. You know, fans are everything to this game. Let's jump into this starting 11. Hendo, maybe number 2 in net, sir. 1.5 at this time. I don't know what Ole's thinking. Tell us at left back, Twanzibi, Bailly, center back pairing, Williams at right back, Van de Beek, Matic, midfield two. Interesting, Donny playing in the six. James, Mata, Ahmad with Mata in the hole. And Elanga up top. Sir, what'd you make of this lineup?
Sir, I like this lineup. You know, this game didn't matter much. Second was confirmed, but it's an important run out for either Twan Xavier or Baye. One of those two is likely to get the nod for the final on Wednesday. I like that, like, Bruno Fernandes, nowhere to be found. Cavani, nowhere to be found. Pogba, that's like exactly what you want to see. All eyes on the final. Don't even think about this game. Play the kids, right? Elanga up front, Ahmad on the right, Danjin's on the left, and then old wise former captain Juan Mata on the hole. Love to see it. Donny van de Beek and Matic, of course. Brandon Williams gets a go. I thought Telles looked pretty good. Put in some great balls today at left back. Let's go, sir. Should be, as they say, as the smartest footballing brain in California says, sir, is like, should be good enough to beat this Wolves side. What did you say?
Sir, you're trolling me on every pod with that line.
You troll yourself.
Maybe every other, it's fair. Let's get into this match. Let's break it down.
Let's break it down, sir. It wasn't an instant classic by any means, but first half, United came out decently enough. Lots of pace up front, like we mentioned, and it was a good chance early. 6 minute, Telles put an outrageous ball for Elanga. He couldn't quite settle it. You have to imagine one of the veteran front three would have done better, sir, but he would get his chance to remedy it, wouldn't he, in the 13th minute. Let's see that goal.
Ahmad's on the run in the middle. So is it Elanga, and this time he gets it right. Bullet header from the teenager. First goal for Manchester United. Brilliantly taken. And look at the smile.
Sir, look at the smile. What a ball from Dan James. Fringe player. We've talked about it. Does he stay? Does he go? We'll be talking about that later. But one of the best balls I've ever seen from Dan James. And well done. Elanga had a couple chances. Like we mentioned, 6 minute, he had another chance a little bit later, but buries the header. United players, I don't know, maybe they're taking cues from Eddie Cavani, but we're learning how to head a ball. Harry Maguire, take notes. How you feeling?
What a ball from Dan James. Dan James, remember, he was out temporarily, comes back. I mean, that was sharp play from him on the wing, and Elanga dunk header. Third time's a charm. You have to think he had some nerves, but this one on a plate puts it away emphatically. You love to see that from a youngster. Manchester United up with the kids, along with the goal.
It's a great feeling. Nothing better than the kids, kid on kid, some action. Love to see it. Wolves, after this, looked a little bit more dangerous. They were pushing forward with Traore. He looked like he was going to be their threat going forward early. 25th minute, dangerous. Actually, Traore went down, bit of a dive, was going for a penalty, and then ends up going off injured, sir. But either way, he's a thick guy, sir. He doesn't miss weightlifting, does he?
Not at all. This is kind of one of those things where we scored early, let him back into it, you know. Mentality, sir. 39th minute.
Sir, 39th minute. We let him back into it. We certainly did.
In their seat, Fabio Silva now. Optimism here for Wolves. Semedo!
They're a little bit sloppy, you know, got a deflection on the way in, got a deflection going in. But either way, Wolves, you know, they were pushing forward. They were getting some pressure in. Deserved equalizer, you would probably say?
Yeah, I would say deserved. And I actually think that this kind of lit a fire under us. 43rd minute, Brandon Williams, good opportunity. Unfortunately, couldn't pick it. I think I saw Aaron Wan-Bissaka score from a similar position earlier this year. That's a tough finish, sir. And then obviously some stoppage time first half.
VAR we trust.
Left for Van de Beek. Down he goes. Mike Dean had a long look, but points for a goal kick. Having seen the footage, it's a penalty. And Mata makes it look so simple and dedicates the goal to his mother, who he lost recently.
Juan Mata, what a class act. It's like we have the best penalty taker in the world, and then having Mata as your backup is not a bad place to be in. Sir, United go into the half with a 2-1 lead. Great position to be in. You know, a little bit of action from the youngster at the beginning with Elanga getting a great goal, and then Mata just kind of ices that first half, headed 2-1 in. How you feeling?
Mata to the spot, sir. You really love to see that one and him getting his goal. What could be his last season? He might get an extension. I've heard different things. I have to think it's in the line for Mata, but I could also see, good and cheap, sir. Good and cheap overruling. Excellent penalty from him. And then, you know, the fans booing. I love that. The who, the VAR boos, you know, going unbeaten away. That's big. That's big. And going to half, I was pumped. I thought, you know, where's Hannibal? You know, get him on. Like, let's go. Let's get some debuts. Let's get some more goals.
Totally. And, you know, second half, Wolves actually started off pretty brightly, but there's a lot to be optimistic about. Keeping that record, that away record strong, like you mentioned, is an important thing. 58th minute, United with a great chance. James actually misses a sitter. Ahmad puts him in so well. Great ball, but the Welshman is one-on-one with the keeper and just kind of muffs it wide. Like you said, it was so bad that he kind of looked at his boots, pulled one of those. But, you know, with his pace, he should just round the keeper and tap it in. But either way, wasn't the best from James. Great in the first half, not so good in the second.
Sir, this one, I'll tell you, if they're thinking about selling you, you know, I think you're gone. You know, how many, you know, is that two seasons? You know, he's going to get in positions like this with his pace. You got to go around the keeper. I mean, you have it on the soundboard. I don't want to speak, sir. You know, it's like.
I prefer really not to. Not to speak. If I speak, I am in big trouble. In big trouble. And I don't want to be in big trouble.
Nobody wants to be in big trouble. Like you said, it's a good point. I mean, the best of Dan James and the worst of Dan James today. He saw his pace, you know, kind of testing that back line into space. Lots of open position for him today. Great ball in the first half to set up the goal. This one, you got to be testing the keeper. You got to be at least like getting a shot on target. But nice ball from Ahmad. I'll say that. It was a great pass from Ahmad.
Unbelievable ball from Ahmad. It's almost like Ahmad did James dirty by making it such a good ball, you know, because James has to finish that one, sir. But, you know, we could have a whole pod on Dan James and his future and whether or not we should get rid of him. So, you know.
To be discussed later in the games, later in the pod, sir. Well, let's get through the second half. There wasn't much to do. In 79th minute, Twanzabi actually was called in some action as Wolves were asking questions. Puts in two good blocks in quick succession to deny Fabio Silva. Nice from him. And then basically it was subs. 82nd minute, double sub. Hannibal and Shoratire come on for Mata and Ahmad. So Hannibal Mejbri gets his debut under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And then 90 plus four, it's Will Fish comes on for Dan James, the Academy defender. He makes his debut in the Premier League as well. That's all she wrote. That's all 3 points. Premier League season comes to an end. The 2021 season, whoo, it's been a marathon, sir. And we're not done yet. We got Yellow Submarine. But wait a minute. Good win. Good win on the road, and you play the kids. What's not to like?
Sir, I'm feeling good right now. I'm honestly, you know, I'm feeling good. I feel like United had a good year, you know, and we're going to go get that trophy. That's all. It comes down to that trophy, you know. Now if, you know, you get second, you always got to get that trophy. You know, like I said, he has to have it. If he doesn't, you know, questions loom. Questions loom. You know, he's going to be the man, but to get fans on side, to put the pressure on the Glazers, he's got to be doing the most with what he's got. And beating Villarreal is clearly like the whole thing is we know this team and we know this team can bottle it, right? We know that we can just absolutely bottle it and it'll be shambolic defending, set pieces awry, and, you know, just can't generate enough in the final. You know, there is that scenario, but I think that's so small because I think Ole knows that in a final, it's like dog eat dog, you gotta go for it. And that's where I ultimately think that Ole's mentality, he's been cautious, and I expect him to go a little more all in on a final. Because I think that's, you have to play cautious to get there, and then you gotta go all in.
Especially against the team you're playing against. And we're going to get into it in a second. We should finish breaking down this Wolves game. But this is a team that is going to try and stifle United's attack, right? So if we do too conservative in the midfield, I think they're going to try and like throw a wrench in that. We've seen that happen before. Teams put a lot of bodies in there and try and control the game via the midfield. And, you know, you don't give yourself the same opportunity if you're playing out of the back with a McFred combo, whereas like maybe you want to drop Pogba down and play all the attacking will that we have. You know, I would like to see that, sir. Because if we go guns blazing, they can't stop us. You know, it's just about like scoring more than we concede.
Exactly.
But let's be brave. It's like you're playing Villarreal. You're not playing AC Milan. You're not even playing the Gunners. It's like you're playing Villarreal, bro. Yellow Submarine. A lot of neutrals are going to be rooting for them, but it's a big game for United. Like you said, it is the defining moment whether this is a successful season or not. Right? It's progress, but you got to win a piece of silverware. If we don't, it is not a successful season. It's like, because you have to win this final. You have to.
And tying it back to the match we're breaking down, sir, just like finishing the league is like, all right, solid performance. Let's go get it. So I'm not saying like I'm hanging my hat on the second place in the league. Like we're done. It's like, no. We need that piece of silverware. So that's why the EPL season might have come to an end. But as far as United and how I will judge it, it will not be until the result in Gdansk, sir, the city I did not know existed until Hans and Franz, you know, told us all about it. Match stats for Fulham. Match stats for Wolves. 57% of the ball to R43%. Wolves shots 14 to R9 on target 4-4. So again, not too much more production than a Wolves side who had more of the ball, but we did come away with 3 points. Match reaction: United have become just the fourth side to remain unbeaten away from home across an entire English top flight campaign. After Preston, 88-89, Arsenal, 01-02, and Arsenal in 03-04. So what I assume there, sir, is we said three in the English Premier League, and this is all top five flight campaigns. So you have to include Preston in 1888-89. Who could forget that season? If you don't have the 4K streaming of footage of that season, I'll shoot you a link.
That's 1889, not 1989. That's like 125 years ago, or whatever.
They would pass out flip books so you get the highlights of the goals.
There you go.
Little cartoons of the guys shooting. Mata's first Premier League goal in 29 appearances was United's 10th goal from the penalty spot this season. The Red Devils' joint highest tally in a single Premier League campaign. They also had 10 in 1920. Sir, VAR has been good to us. For the most part. And Elanga became the 19th different teenager to score a Premier League goal for United. Only Arsenal 20 have had more in the competition's history. I have a feeling we're kind of getting up there. We will surpass Arsenal shortly. They are a complete dumpster fire. Fernandes missed a Premier League game for the first time since signing for United, having appeared in each of Red Devils' 51 matches in the competition since making his debut on February 1st, 2020, sir. Can you believe it's only been like 14 months of Bruno Fernandes? Feels like he's been at Bruno.
Sorry, sir. I didn't mean to cut you off, but it's unbelievable the impact he's had on this team, how much of a big time player he's been. And I think that's part of me just wanting to go sing it live in front of him, being able to like tell Bruno how much he is admired, appreciated, and respected by this fan base. We love Bruno Fernandes. And it also tells you the mentality of the manager. We'll hear from him in a second. Dude, it's all about the week. It's all about midweek, and you're saving your big-time players for that big game. Don't even have them worry about Wolves. I love that.
Absolutely, sir. But what do we know? Let's check in with the manager, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Ole, just the fourth team ever to go unbeaten away from home in the top flight season.
Yeah, it was about time we did it. We haven't done it before, so what an achievement by all the players. They've been excellent, you know. And I knew that we did put this record on the line by making all these changes, but we had to. One, because we believe in these players, and two, because the other players that have played so much this season needed an energy boost for Wednesday.
It is very difficult. We all know how difficult the Premier League is, and especially playing away from home. So it's a great achievement.
So good to hear a little bit of Juan Mata. Ole had his say, sir. He's obviously eyes on the prize. It's all about Wednesday's game. Gdansk. We all know where Gdansk is now. We all want to go to the fourth biggest city in Poland. I wish we were going, sir. I wish we were out in the squares with the Red Army, just like turning it red, sir. I'd love to be there. I'd pay every dollar I have to go there. Normal times. And, sir, I'd love a good final. Cup final. Love going to the game. I don't even know if they're having fans at the game. I don't even know how this is working.
Sir, I will pay every bit of money we got to go to the next Champions League final we're in.
I'm just
I don't
thirsty.
Know if I pay every dollar for a Europa League
Come
final.
On, baby. Also, Come on.
I could disagree. I could disagree.
Hans and Franz. It's priceless.
You know, if Hans and Franz are hosting, then I'm in. But the final table, the league is done shitty. You're champions. Nobody cares. They don't even have fans. They don't even have fans that care. They'll have to like pay actors to show up to like whatever parade they have after they win the Champions League. They beat Chelsea. Like, who are they going to start? Werner? I mean, come on, man. That's like shitty. It's like, man, they're shitty. They're shitty. 86 points. Manchester United, 74, sir. Strong haul. Highest total since Mourinho's greatest accomplishment ever as a manager, as he said, in 17-18 when they got 81 points finished in second. That 81 points, still not good enough to win the league this season. You'd have to go back to when we last won it, sir, 11-12 with 89 and 12-13 with 89, sir. Then when 08-09, we had 90, 07, 08, 87, 06, 07, 89. So, you know, you look to the other side of Manchester, 86. At when we were our best, we'd be topping them with that total. So that total is really not out of reach for this squad, in my opinion. If we add to the right players in the offseason. The Scouse Bastards, 69, having a laugh. Can't believe they came back. They did pip Chelsea to the third spot, but again, seeing our badge above theirs is something that you got to be happy about. Chelsea scum, they squeak into fourth, like we mentioned, with 67, with the loss to Villa completely melting down, and then Leicester City, 66. They lost three of their last five, and they drew one, so they one win in their last five. That's how Leicester had to do it. Unbelievable.
And they beat us. That was their win.
It's crazy. West Ham, 65. Tottenham, 62. Arsenal, 61. Leeds, 59. Everton, 59. Villa, Aston Villa, 55. Sir, I mean, you look at the rest of the table and you look at what we did with what we have. I mean, pretty incredible. Fulham, West Brom, and Sheffield United all relegated. Brighton, Burnley hanging on by the hair on their chin-chin-chin. Sir.
Sir, now it's all about additions. You know, there are going to be some outs. We got to kind of control the bleeding, see if we can keep Pogba around. But we don't need like depth. We need firepower. We need like starters that are going to contribute immediately to this starting 11 because it's pretty well settled, like eight or nine players, give or take. A couple spots up for grabs. But either way, we need like strong additions that are going to allow us to push on for a title challenge against City. Because you know they're going to be spending. And the Chelsea Blues are going to be spending. And Liverpool might spend just because their owners are trying to get out of hot water like our owners. But either way, it's a giant summer for Murtaugh. It's a giant summer for the Dirty Glazer family, hopefully on their way out last summer at Manchester United. A guy can hope. It's a big one, sir. It's a big one.
So when you look at this table, what are the biggest surprises? What would you say the biggest surprise of this table? I would say, I mean, United in second is a pretty big surprise, even for me as a fan. Like, I thought we'd be fighting for top four to, like, clinch second with a few games left. That's a pretty big surprise, right?
I mean, that's the okay, when you like saw it all, yes, United, it's good to see the progress, finishing second comfortably, and we didn't have a great finish to the end of the season, so it should have even been farther ahead of Liverpool. Seeing that top four, like if you were, say, at the beginning of the season, it makes sense, right? But like Liverpool, I mean, they had a good run at the end and got into the top four because it didn't look like it. We were laughing about them for the last couple months, so that's a bit of a surprise. Chelsea nosing ahead of Leicester. Leicester dropping out again, like you said. Yeah, that stat. Like they've been in the top four like 65 of the last 76 games, but they finished the last two seasons in fifth place. Something crazy like that. You know, Arsenal didn't finish in 10th. I would have loved to see that. But either way, the progress is being made. Now it's about strengthening this team. We didn't really make that many.
Sir, I was saying like just surprises across, like you say, the whole EPL season, like agnostic of team. What were the surprises? Like, you know, Tottenham firing Mourinho and melting down. That's not a surprise.
No.
And by like that's something I would have predicted. Like, I would have predicted probably a Scouse Bastards shitty title race and then us kind of in the mix for fourth. I thought Chelsea spent enough money in the summer to get like third. So I actually thought we'd probably be fighting with like Leicester, Arsenal, and Tottenham for fourth. You know, that would going in. So seeing Chelsea struggle, you know, I did say they would sack Lampard before Ole, but seeing Chelsea struggle, I thought they'd play better. The Scouse Bastards struggling, that was a surprise. And then I think United just came in and we outperformed. I think Cavani being the difference. So, you know, I really do think that puts us in a strong position for next season. Arsenal struggling as much as they did, not a surprise, right? Arteta is like softest man on earth. And Wolves is probably a surprise. Wolves dropping to 13th.
Wolves dropping, absolutely. And also just like a lot of teams around us that spent a lot more money. You know, Cavani is the only addition that was really made that was an upgrade in a position that we didn't have necessarily someone that was like the out and out striker. You have no questions asked. Otherwise, there wasn't a lot of additions made to this squad, sir. Like Donny van de Beek, who's a backup to maybe Pogba, Ahmad, a player for the future. We didn't get a center back. We didn't get a CDM, players that we've been calling out for a while. City bought two center backs this last summer, sir. Chelsea spent $200 million. Leicester spent money. Arsenal spent money. Sir, we need to spend money. You got to give Ole something, because if we don't, it's going to be second. Will be like an accomplishment again, because if you're going to compete against City, who have more money than God, the only way we do so is by strengthening and making real moves, chip ups in the table in the transfer market this summer.
No, absolutely, sir. And when you look at the top eight, take Arsenal above, United scored the second most goals, 73 to Shitty, who scored 83, but we conceded the third most, with West Ham and Tottenham only being worse conceding. So to concede, to be the third worst as far as defending goes in goals against and second most in goals, that gets you second place. You tidy up the defense, you add some goals, we're in business. You know, I think you need to think about looking at where we're hurting and why and what can make the difference. And clearly the conceding 44 goals, sir, more than a goal a game, you know, Shitty with 32, unbelievable. Chelsea defended well, 36 goals against, but they could only score 58. Timo, where you at, buddy? Having a lot, like you understand, like they need goals. Chelsea needs goals. They're going to be desperate for goals next season.
No, that's a good point. It's like, what do you need to fix? We need to fix the defense, right? Because if there are goals on this side, there's goals on this side, there's goals in the youth. It's like we got all these wingers and attacking players, the Alongas, the Hannibals, the Ahmad, the Dan James of the world that are ready to go. It's like, we need defense. We need defense, and we need an upgrade to Fred. And it's like, that's clearly like, what should the priority be? We're going to talk about some big names. We're attracted to some big names, and they're all attackers, right? Whether it's Jadon Sancho or Harry Kane, really what you need is you need a world-class center back, and you probably need a world-class CDM. And if you have those two, it could be enough if everybody stays fit to challenge for a title. Because that's the upgrade we need to do right now. It's like you need a better Lindelof and you need a better Fred, first and foremost.
Yeah, absolutely. I did miss Leicester City. They conceded 50, so we were actually the fourth worst in the top eight. But, you know, Leicester, 68 shipped 50, dude. Chelsea scored 58, shipped 36. Defending got Chelsea top four. And look how much money they spent on their attack. So, you know, money ain't going to solve all your problems. And that's why I think United have a strong base, but it can be tweaked. Like you said, the defending is clearly an issue going forward. So just a brief, you know, check in with the table. End of the season, we'll do a full recap on our season recap podcast. We go month by month, fixture by fixture. That will be coming in a little more than a week, sir. Probably a week after the final. It takes a little while to get all that stuff. And you're on vacation, you know. So this guy working on vacation, Pod never sleeps.
So the hardest working guys in the podcast business is you and me, sir. This season's been a hell of a ride, hell of a run. Now it's about popping that champagne, sir.
Who else works hard? who works as hard as we do on the pod? Hans and Franz, baby. Let's go.
Let's go. Sir, it is the song of the summer. It's Hans and Franz, baby, live from Gdansk. Live, let's go. We're going to a final, my man. We're going to a final.
Dude, it's here. It's here, sir. Like I said, confidence is key. United need it. They got to go in. We got to have the swagger. Smoke them, sir. We got to go all out. We got to punch them in the mouth from minute one and beat them 5-1, 4-0. Let's go. Like, this shouldn't be a game. Like, really, like, United fans, you're worried. Like, Villarreal are seventh in La Liga. They're bad. It's like, we should just run over them. That should be the mentality. Ole needs to get the boys up for this one. From minute one, sir, We got to score first, got to score early, and we got to pile it on. We got to go. We got absolutely classic Manchester United.
I think that's the key. The key is we honestly, we can't give them too much respect. I think the more respect we give them is like the more we're going to play down to them, keep in the game, play too defensive. We need to like go out and play attacking football, classic United, just grind, just literally just like again and again and again. And if you expose yourself in the back and get concede a couple, that's fine. But I would just like try and blast them like 20 shots, 10 on goal, get 5 goals, like just tear them apart. Because this team, dude, Villarreal is there for the taking. And the biggest mistake we can make is giving them too much respect.
So I got 2 awards for you. Mason Greenwood. I mean, he's going to be the key. I think he's on form. I think he sees the final. I think he sees a huge opportunity for himself. I'm really thinking Greenwood and Cavani could do a lot of damage here if we win.
Master Apprentice, sir. Master Apprentice. Oh, we're about to get that beat dropping, sir. You ready for this? Sir. Let's go. Woo! Europa League final. Let's go. Can't wait. Come on. Wednesday, sir. I'm taking off. No work. Let's go. It's a final.
All right. It is Villarreal versus Manchester United and Gdansk. The Stadion Energa. I'm sure that stands for energy. I'm sure they got some sort of energy source they're monetizing there in Poland. Europa League final. Wednesday, May 26th, 12 p.m. Pacific. What a kickoff. What a day. Wednesday is going to be absolute fire. Lifetime versus Villarreal, the Yellow Submarine. Drawn 4, sir. Played 4. Drawn them. Literally drawn 0-0 every time we have played, unless you're trolling me here in the agenda.
This is real.
Played them in 05 in the Champions League. Drew every time, 0-0. Played in 08 in the Champions League. Drew, 0-0. This has to be group stage stuff, sir. History is probably going to repeat itself. 0-0 in extra time. Going to penalties. We got a good guy who could take him in Bruno. So, you know, De Gea can't stop PK, though.
Nope.
He's not a PK keeper, bro.
You can't. Get Romero. Romero's great at stopping penalties. I don't know if you remember that World Cup. But
sign up Tim Krul, bro.
Tim Krul. Sign him up, sir. 0-0 would be tough. The only problem is you can't have Bruno Fernandes take all of our penalties. He can only take one penalty. He can't take like 5 in a row. That would be great.
Yeah, but you get one, so you're in the lead. Let's go. Villarreal coming in this game, like we said, they've been all over the place. They drew Arsenal. I mean, in Arsenal, we all know are pretty terrible. They lost to Celta Vigo, although they were a man down. 2 red cards in that match. Then they did beat I can't say this, sir. Can you say this?
Valladolid? I don't know how to say that.
Yeah, Valladolid. Valladolid. They lost 2-0. They beat Sevilla 4-0, but Sevilla was a man down. And then Real Madrid beat them 2-1. They're in a game with Madrid right now. Like, that was yesterday, their last game. They're playing ball. Madrid, I think... That was for the La Liga title. They had to win it, so they were definitely playing everyone. For Villarreal pushing Real Madrid, that doesn't make me feel good. That good, especially considering our 11 against Tottenham couldn't get it done. But again, sir, we should be beating them.
No, as we said, but you know what? It's about taking the game seriously, and I think the boys are going to get up for it. Like you said, Pogba's been in some big finals. He's been in the World Cup final. This is a very important to Bruno. But the one thing that's interesting, we're going to talk about 11s in a little bit, is that there's a likelihood that Rashford doesn't make the start in 11. I'm like, can you imagine saying that 4 months ago when he was ripping and rolling? But at the moment, you know, if Pogba is kind of preferred in his left wing position, it could be Mason based on form going into this game.
Sir, I mean, you want to start controversy, start saying Marcus Rashford isn't going to start a European final for Manchester United. I don't know what you're smoking in your piece, I'm sure, but you should definitely get it checked out, because Marcus Rashford is starting in a European final for Manchester United. Like, I just, you know,
we'll see.
I don't know what to tell you. Like, we'll I'm gonna have to be hard on you, because he's starting in a European final under our manager, who loves Marcus Rashford. He's an amazing player. He's going to start.
I love Marcus. But you know
what?
Okay. Well, I like being wrong. We'll see. I can see it happening. I can totally see it happening. But I have no idea, because that would mean that he's going to go with Pogba in the midfield, which I would also like, or he's going to bench Greenwood, which I doubt. So you know, we'll see, sir. I cannot wait for this final. I'm glad we got another game.
A little history on Villarreal. They were founded in 1923. Club's really recent, sir. You know, they don't have too much history. Club's been much of its history in the lower divisions of Spanish football and only made their La Liga debut in 1998. But they have been up post-98, sir. I'm familiar with them. A little history in 1923 when they were founded. The original Wembley Stadium opens its doors for the first time to the English public, staging the FA Cup final between Bolton Wanderers and West Ham United, sir, to Wembley. Obviously, they're playing at New Wembley, but the original Wembley all the way back to 1923. In the 21st century, Villarreal gained some league stability, and the club made its first appearance in UEFA Champions League in 05, where we did face them in the group stage. The club also appeared in the Europa League during this time, but sustained relegation in 2012, quickly rebuilding and becoming a stable top division club. In 2021, under the leadership of Unai Emery, Arsenal reject, the team reached their first Europa League final, sir. So they are here at the behest of Unai Emery, a.k.a. the poor man's Count Chocula, Count Dracula. You know, who's the Count on Sesame Street?
Yeah, one of them.
And him.
What's the guy from the cereal box and what's the guy from Sesame Street? I don't know. I couldn't tell you who's who, but either way, it looks like both of them.
Yeah, very interesting gentleman. The club is nicknamed El Submarine, or Yellow Submarine, due to its home yellow kit and due to being a low-profile team compared to Real Madrid, Barcelona, Atletico, or regional rivals, Valencia, sir. They play their home games at Estadio de La Ceramica and have been touted as an example of a small, a successful club. Small club mentality, sir. Manchester United, big club mentality. Time to smack him around the pitch, my man. Physio room, injuries for United. Everyone's talking about Harry Maguire. Fred is kind of on there for an other, but apparently he will be okay. Martial, he's probably not going to feature. And then Phil Jones did attend the Sir Alex Ferguson documentary premiere. But other than that, haven't seen him.
I wouldn't expect to see him. What if he starts the final? That would be quite the punt. Lindelof and Phil Jones, you're starting in center back pairing in the final. I don't think it's going to happen.
Sir, I have no idea who's going to start in your 11. It doesn't even sound like Marcus Rashford. So
let's go. You ready for the lineups?
Yeah, given the injuries, give me your lineup for the final. This is the final lineup, and I'm about to hear a lineup without Marcus Rashford. I know you didn't steal mine.
I didn't steal yours because I did mine first. De Gea net, back four is going to be AWB. Baye gets the nod over Twanzebe. Him and Lindelof are going to be the pairing. Shaw at left back, best left back in the world. I'm going to do, I hate to say it, McFred combo. Bruno in the hole, Pogba on the left, Cavani up top, Greenwood on the right. Rashford comes off the bench, scores a brace after, you know, Villarreal's already on the ropes, couple down. So who you got? Let's hear it.
Sir, you know, I said I was really confident about winning this game on the last podcast. If I see that lineup, all that confidence is lost.
The biggest footballing genius in the area, should be good enough.
I'm like so confident going to the game. That lineup is down. It's like we probably lose the final. Like I'm going to be worried if I see that lineup. Like, sorry, this guy calling the shots.
McFred. I don't want to see McFred, but I think we're going to see McFred.
Okay.
All right, let's hear it. Let's go. Tactical genius.
In net, sir. Wan-Bissaka. You know why I'm confident? Because Harry Maguire is going to inject whatever it takes, cement whatever in that boot, so he can play in this final. Harry Maguire is the captain of Manchester United, sir. He's walking without a boot in the Premier. Like, Ole's playing coy. Harry is playing no matter what. I know Harry Maguire. He might sound like a doofus. He might have a doofus-looking haircut, but he's tough as nails, sir. He plays injured. He plays hard. And Maguire is saving it for the final. He will be there guaranteed. put it down. Harry Maguire starts for Manchester United against Villarreal. That's the reason we win.
Harry Maguire! Harry Maguire! He drinks the vodka, he drinks the Jager, he says fucking massive!
Sir, sounds like a doofus. How dare you? Have a little respect on our captain's name. Miss
no,
him, dude.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he gets caught in grease, like, punches some police officers.
Yeah, defended his sister. You know, defended his
like
sister.
Not, it's not like he's the sharpest tool in the shed. I don't need my center back to be, but I need my captain to bleed for Manchester United. And when people see him suiting up, playing through his injury, and gritting out a strong performance for Manchester United, think of what that would mean to the other players. Like, Bruno's giving him the look. Like, everyone knows he's playing, bro. Like, Harry Maguire ain't, like, soft. I know that. Like I said, I might be harsh on him for his interviews or his haircut or whatever he did in Greece, but I know that he's got the grit and he's going to play for this final because he knows what it means to play for this club. He gets it, and if winning it, and that'd be a huge moment for him for United.
I don't think he wants to miss out on the first piece of silverware in his reign as captain, which is going to be a very successful reign as captain because we're just getting started. And he is a big time player. He's one of the best center backs in the world, certainly one of the best center backs in the league. And I think we saw that once you pulled him out of this squad and see how much worse we are defensively. So I hope he makes it. I hope he makes it because I think with him in it, oh, I don't even know who else you got. Who else did you put in that team? Who's in midfield?
You put Bai in there, it's like, oh.
I know. Bambi on ice.
The back line's going to be like, oh. The crowd will be like, you know. You hear him like sweating. You know, that's going to be a long 90 minutes with Bai and Lindelof playing out the back with Fred, bro. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that'd be brutal.
It's like Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Maguire, Lindelof, Shaw, Pogba, McTominay, sir. It could be Pogba or Modric. You could do – I don't think it's Modric because he played. I think it's McTominay, Pogba, sir. You do Bruno in the hole. Rashford has to play on the left. You have to play Marcus Rashford. He scores goals. Look at his numbers this season. There's no way he can't start in a final. You put Cavani and then Greenwood on the right, sir. Play Marcus in his best position. Play Cavani in his best position. And you play Greenwood arguably in his best position right now. For Manchester United on great form, you got to go with that front three guaranteed. And where does Paul Pogba go? Duh, he goes in the two. Look what he did for France in the World Cup final. You can't watch that and say this man can't do a job when there's silverware on the line, sir. That's the starting 11. That's where the confidence comes from. We're winning this goddamn final. Let's go.
Sir, I'll tell you what, if we have Harry and you put Pogba in midfield in that front four, I mean, how many that team's got goals coming out of its ears.
That's what you play to win the game. You don't play to play Fred and McTominay in midfield.
I know,
so
but I know this manager. I know this manager.
With that,
I know this manager. I'll bet you $100 that McFred starts.
Sir, you can't play.
I know, but we're going to.
Sir, I'll tell you a million. Like you want to hear? You want to hear how crazy it would be to play Fred? Look at Fred's performances leading up to the final.
Not great.
You can't play him.
Not great.
He can't play. He can't play. He can't – Ole's mad. If he plays Fred and McTominay and drops Rashford and puts Pogba on the left, he's mad. He's lost his mind. Everyone watched France play the World Cup. How do he play?
Yeah, he's playing next to Conte. He played next to the best CDM in the world.
McTominay, you got to pick someone to believe in to play that position, and it ain't Fred, dude.
All right, bro. We'll see. Woo! We got the feel, sir. We got something to look forward to. What a game on Wednesday. It's a holiday. It's a bank holiday.
This is huge. But Ole needs to step up and play this lineup, my man. Playing Fred McTominay would be like Bai and or Fred McTominay, bro. Like those two things coming in that lineup.
Well, Bai's out of his hands. Bai's out of his hands, right? That's dependent on if Harry is ready to go. I do agree the midfield is going to be – you want to be unconfident with Bai in the back, add McFred in front of him. And that's like a recipe for disaster.
Well, okay, so now I'm coming off the emotions here a little bit. Like that's a good point. So like if Maguire can't make it, you got to play Bai. Then he's worried and then he plays Fred McTominay. But then I also feel then you're inviting the pressure. Then you're inviting the loss. You change your strategy, and I don't think you can go into a neutral venue final, look at what we can do up front, and then be scared. You know what I'm saying? You can't look at Manchester United and be afraid to attack Villarreal. So, like, I'd rather maybe Maguire gives them the confidence to play a Pogba in the two. You're right. But I just don't want to see us go super defensive because in a final, it's like this isn't Mourinho ball. You know, we should be sending Rashford, Cavani, and Greenwood to go win it for us. And we will if we play that way.
We're not playing Bayern Munich or PSG or Barcelona. We're playing Villarreal, bro. Seventh place. We're playing the Everton of La Liga. It's like there's respect and then there's almost foolishness. So I hear you. But it's a big decision for Ole. Hasn't always got it right. The 11, but this is a big one because you don't want to give him too much respect and you have to just go out there and play your game. And we should play attacking football because this team's got goals in it.
Absolutely. And I guess the reason why this conversation is like so intense is because like this is Ole's first final and like you can let him get away with like game week 35 and Fred McTominay this and that. But for one game, winner take all, like your strategy has to adjust. And I expect big things from my manager here. I think he's planning this, but I think he drops Fred. Villarreal doesn't know who they're going to get. I do think there's an element of gamesmanship with Maguire. Like Sir Alex always do that as well. Sir Alex played those games, always probably learned from those games and into a final it matters. Booking the bookie serve Villarreal. I mean, like if you look at the odds, Villarreal to win is plus 380. You're getting over three times your money for them to win the final. Us, Manchester United, minus 125. Draw plus 240, sir. Obviously, that's full-time draw. We can't draw. We have to go to pens eventually. But Cavani is the big goal scorer, plus 450. Bruno as well. Martial plus 500 with Rashford and Greenwood and Ahmad plus 550. Villarreal, Gerard Moreno. Moy Gomez, never heard of these guys, sir. Never heard of them. Never heard of one of these guys. So, I mean, if we lose, look at those odds. It's like we should be dominating this team, and you and me are here sweating the lineup call from Fred McTominay because we know, maybe we know more than the bookies because if those two play, it ain't going to be like plus 380 for Villarreal. It's going to be a coin flip.
Yeah, we'll find out. It's all about
Fulham. Fulham.
What about Fulham? I know that game.
Sorry, we lost to Fulham with this, like with your lineup.
Lose to Fulham. We didn't win, which is like a loss. Sir, what's your score prediction? No, final, baby. What's your score prediction? Let's hear it.
Sir, you're not that Fulham performance with Fred McTominay in the midfield.
It wasn't good enough.
The hook.
Terrible,
and then got
sir.
The hook. The game, he got the hook against the Scouse Bastards.
Sir, he's gotten the hook a couple times. And
like that's like the you know the cane that comes off the stage and like whoop, like takes you out. it ain't like
yeah, like at the Apollo, like, just like take him off.
Like the umbrella cane, bro. Like whoop. Like,
we out, we bro, need that like, on the what? Soundboard, sir. The hook. The hook is getting hooked.
It's like we tried. You ain't up to snuff. Like the last two games, he was literally yanked because he gave it away and like couldn't recover from his mistake. You can't play him in a final. You can't play him in a final. He's gonna get dropped. This is the Ole's biggest decision as a manager. I have to think is like because it's a move to drop him, but you have to. He doesn't want to, but he has to. You agree, right?
No, I do. I would. Only play Fred if you had Pogba next to him. You know, you just don't play McFred. It's like, I can get it. He's your CD. He's the best tackler on the team, arguably. That's not Aaron Wan-Bissaka. Maybe you play him as like, you know, the very last player in front, but I still rather have Matic there.
Oh, no, sir. It's not, it's more of like, I don't hate Fred. This is not a hate Fred thing. It's Fred hasn't been playing well recently. And I don't think playing him in a final is going to be good for his mental. You know
no,
what I'm saying?
No, he's also like super streaky, even in games, right? If he's confident, he starts playing really well. And as soon as like he makes a bad pass, his confidence dives and he gets worse. And that's the thing is like he would get in his head. If he got caught out once, he would be vulnerable the whole game. And then you have to like, you know, Ole worries about hooking his boy. I think you're right. You don't start him because he's probably not the player that you're going to want to be relying on when it comes down to it. But especially against a Real side who are going to pack it in and make you kind of break them down, sir. He's not a player for that, right?
Especially playing out the back, right? Like, I don't decide that to play out the back. Ole wants to do that. And then you have Fred and they have Villarreal with a lot of pressure in a final trying to create a mistake. And, you know, I just worry about trying to avoid those types of situations. But, sir, look, we can go all day out the final. This is it. Score prediction time. Who do you got? How does it go down? Extra time pens. We finish them to the sword, sir. What do you think?
So I'm calling 3-1. You know, you go down early. Classic fires them up, and we just, like, attack, attack, attack from there. halftime subs. He does start McFred, pulls Fred at half after we're losing. We go in, we score three goals in the second half. Let's go. Lift the trophy in Gdansk. Polish beers for everybody. What you got?
I was going to say 3-1, but it was going to be in a different way. But I'll go 2-1. I'll say we score early, first 20 minutes. Then we bend like we have been bending. They either can, and we concede, go to extra time, Greenwood with the winner. We hold it in a nervy way. I'm worried about the lineup. I'd like to say 4-0. We're going to blast them, sir. But I have to think that this is going to be a close game. These are, you know, Villarreal. We should run over them. I want to run over them. You know, but it's. I think we're going to. You play like that against Fulham, sir. If we beat Fulham like 6-1, I'm saying something else.
Totally. Sir, I'm not that confident. It's all going to be 10 and 11. No, not as confident as I should be. We didn't finish the season as well as we would have liked. But this is it. This is all it's about. It's about 90 minutes of football. Leave it on the field.
Yeah, totally. Let's go. I mean, big final. Yeah. United in the news, sir. I was going to say, either way, we're going to win it. You know, we both said it. We're going to win it.
We're winning. That's all that matters.
There's no scenario in my mind that we're losing. So it might be nervy and we win, but we're getting that trophy. That's all that matters. Sir, we talked about it here on the podcast. Jumping in the news from the rags here. We told Murtaugh, sign up Bruno Fernandes, extend the deal the next week, sir. It's almost like we got the inside track on what Manchester United do. I think they're listening to the podcast. There's been a few things we've said that just come true. Bruno Fernandes set to sign new deal, £200,000 a week bumper deal. So it's that time of year. Bruno Fernandes, keep him happy. Pay the man, sir. I love this deal. It's a good move from Murtaugh.
Good and cheap. 200K, he's cheap. At 200K, Bruno Fernandes is a deal of the league, sir. He's currently paid 100K. That's less than Jesse Lingard. That's less than Phil Jones. Speaking of cheap and good, unbelievable Bruno Fernandes, what kind of value he has contributed to this team. His agent, Miguel Pinto, flew in Manchester on Tuesday, step up talks. Sir, we got to get the deal done. He is a big-time player. Extend the contract. Don't just give him a bumper doubling of his wages. Also extended. Add a couple more years, sir. He is such a player. Love Bruno Fernandes. Can't wait to see him in the flesh. So we haven't had that opportunity yet, but I'm looking forward to that.
For Bruno said, quote, my priority today is to win trophies. Collective titles are more important than individual titles. We are working on that here. I think the club has improved a lot since I arrived. You like to hear him say it. He says everything right. There was an Instagram story of him celebrating that he made the Portuguese team call up. You can see where this man wants to be. His hunger can't be quenched, sir. He has a desire to be the best, and Bruno Fernandes brings out the best of all the players at Manchester United. That's why extending this deal is great. He should be, I mean, probably when there might be a few players leaving the summer, I think he should be paid more than the money they're offering him. But he sounds like he's a reasonable gentleman. Extend the deal, double the wages. I think Bruno just wants trophies. He probably wants that money to go to other players. He wants to surround himself with better players and get more opportunities to win silverware at Manchester United that aren't the poor man's Champions League, sir. Next bit of news here. Manchester United stars set to work on Harry Kane during England's Euro 2020 campaign to convince striker to choose Old Trafford over rivals Manchester City ahead of potential $120 million transfer. Clearly, I have a feeling. I know where the summer's going, sir. We'll be talking a lot about the old schnoz, Harry Kane.
Sir, you were talking him up earlier today. You know, all of a sudden, John's hot on Kane. Love to hear it. I don't know where that came from. You're hot on Kane, hot on the Kane story, hot on the likelihood that he might be coming to United. Dude, sir, we're broke, baby. We're broke. Who we got money for Harry Kane, dude, and Levy? He runs a hard bargain. He always has. Always has, sir. And, you know, like, they're broke. They need to pay for a stadium that they don't have money for. And this is their you know, their prized asset other than Son. They're kind of like the jewel in the crown, and he's tied up to a big fat deal. I think he's got 4 more years on it, and I don't see them going for anything cheap. But I would take Harry Kane, of course, but there are players that I think we need to sign before Harry Kane. We need another defender. We need a CDM.
Judge, may I approach the bench?
Proceed.
this guy, like, well, sir, I got to get the tire tracks off me. You threw me under the bus. You're like, yeah, this guy's hot on Kane.
Just, well,
like,
hear it. Sorry, sir. It is all right, sir. Sorry.
I don't even get, like,
I led the witness. I'm leading the witness.
Yeah, you are. You are. You are. 100%. You're saying things I didn't say. I'm telling you what I told you was I'm not hot on Kane. I'm just saying sometimes I got this crystal ball. You got to look into it. You got to get all the tea leaves, sir. You got to sort it all in your mind. I'm looking at Harry Kane. I'm looking at Levy. 150 million pounds is the target mark. I don't think Levy's going to budge on that. Is Shitty going to pay 150 million when they could pay that for Haaland? No, they're not. They're absolutely not. No one's going to pay that money when you can go get Erling Haaland for probably that. Obviously, you got to do some under the table dealings with Jabba the Hutt, aka Mino Raiola. Probably got to pay him an extra 20, so it might cost more than that. But either way, you're talking about that stratosphere of an Mbappe Haaland. You're not going to pay that for Harry Kane. Where I think this is lining up, got to go through the clubs that might be interested. Chelsea, he's not going to move to Chelsea. London rival, right? I don't think he wants to probably be in London, play for Chelsea, and then everyone kind of hate him. Even though Harry Kane strikes me as he would like that City, Chelsea type of vibe a little bit. PSG also ain't going to pay 150 million for him. They're probably the only other club that is in talks, given Real and Barca and Juve and all of them are broke. Right. So PSG, the other oil conglomerates, or however you want to put it, they're not going to pay that money for him either. So when it comes to Manchester United, we're broke. We don't have the money, but we got something that Levy probably wants, and that is swap players, sir. I heard Martial's name. We've heard Lingard's name. Martial is a player that could arguably garner a 50 million plus valuation that could drop the Kane transfer kitty down to the 80 to 90 million range. The Glazers then get the big money signing that they want to feed the fans the red meat. You can sort of see everything lining up in this way. I just don't think a big cash deal is there. I think it's going to be a player swap. I think arguably Martial and or Lingard are on the table, and that is how Levy could get a deal done, get a bunch of players, get some money, and then have fans on side because, oh, Harry wanted to move on. He wanted to go to United. By the way, he's probably talking to United right now, and then they're going to try to sort the deal. I don't know if I want Harry Kane. I'm just saying what I'm seeing. So I'm not totally hot on Kane, but if that is going down and I see this kind of opening up as we could be potentially one of the main players for him, because of the swaps, then you look at his numbers and you say, yeah, that to United and we probably win the league. And then I'm like, okay, do I hate Harry Kane? No. Would I rather get Sancho? Probably. Would I rather get a better center back? Probably. But I just know the Glazers are probably going to be looking for that just big money, like jersey, piano, play-in type of thing. You know, that's what I think they're fiending. And that's how I could see us getting him. And if we get him, his numbers don't hurt, sir.
Dude, he's a goal scorer, you know, but we just re-signed Cavani. So if you did that, it's kind of like getting Ighalo and then getting Cavani. And then, you know, it's like kind of a little bit short-sighted. But that, you know who's running this club. That wouldn't surprise me. See, if we're going to splash major cash and do player swaps, 27-year-old Harry Kane has had some injuries. He's a goal scorer, right? He just won the Golden Boot again. So we know he's got goals with him. He scores a lot of goals. He has a lot of assists. He's also, I think, he was top of the assists for the Premier League ahead of Bruno Fernandes. He's a great player. But is he the priority? Sir, we don't have the money. A, we don't have the money. And B,
we do have the money. So sir.
We do have the money? We have the money? I thought we didn't have the money.
They're going to have to borrow more money to get the money. It's going to be like, sir, I got to rob Peter to pay Paul here. I understand the Glazers are going to do something. Whether that they're either going to like do Sancho or they're going to do Kane. They're going to need one big signing to sell. Ole wouldn't talk about signing center back or signing certain players if he didn't have the guidance from the board that was going to happen because he'd look like a fool. Now, will the Glazers make Ole look like a fool? Absolutely. But they're going to feed us some piece of meat, and it's either going to be Sancho or Kane. Now, I'm going to ask you the question, sir, that I talked about earlier. And yeah, this might be me getting excited about Harry Kane or the potential of something like this would be like, who gets you closer to winning the title, Harry Kane or Jadon Sancho, and what do they cost?
Well, Kane's going to cost more, right? They want to deal.
First things first, who gets you closer to winning the title? So
Kane gets you closer next year, right? Leading the witness, let me finish my goddamn answer. He gets you closer to winning the title next year and the next couple years. But Sancho, you get next year. If we're just talking about next year, it's Kane, because he's in the Premier League proven. He's 27. He's in the prime of his career. He'd be like an RVP-esque signing. You get in extra 30 goals, and that's winning the season. That's enough to win the league, right? That's the difference. Sancho is a building block for like the future, right? That's going to line up with Marcus and Greenwood and Bruno going forward, like for the next 7 years plus. And he's the one, he's the smart buy. But I can see Kane is like the immediate buy if you want to challenge right away. You know, if you're, dude, if we didn't have the Glazers, we'd be buying both, because we'd have so much cash.
Yes.
We would have already bought Sancho and we'd be getting Kane, right?
We live in the Glazers out world that we're in. So you have to kind of pick one or the other. And I agree that, like, yeah, it'd be nice to have every great player. Like, why not? Let's get Mbappe as well, sir. Let's not
great
just
idea.
Stop.
Great idea. Get Conte.
Let's go full FIFA. Let's
get
go
Varane. Sir, who else you got?
But as you know, not all players are available, and timing is everything when it comes to transfers. I think Levy also knows Kane's value is going to go down over time. And so if you were to trade him, now is the time to do it. And, like, you look at United, like, Martial – I love Martial. I think he plays best on the left. But when you look at Cavani, a true number nine, look what a true number nine did to this team. And Cavani's only given you a year. So to bring in somebody else is not outrageous, because you realize how much of a number nine we need. And actually, if you look at the pecking order, Cavani, Kane, Greenwood, that's not bad. And Cavani's shipping in a year. You can sign another youngster, younger 20s, number nine. Maybe you can compete for Haaland at that point when his buyout clause goes down. You know, I don't know if you want that much attacking football, but I do at Manchester United. Why not, sir?
That's what this team is built on. That's what our history is built on. Thinking about our front four when we won the treble, sir. You need to have options. That you need to have players you can bring off the bench. I like it in Sancho now and then Haaland in a year when his number goes down. Because I'm thinking about the future. You know, I'd love Kane, but it's like he's going to cost so much money. And we have to give up players. And it'll take all summer. I see him going to City. £100 million deal. Goes to City. He looks like a City player, sir. City captain. I can see him giving the captain speeches.
I don't think Levy is going to budge on the $150 million. I don't think Levy's going to sell him for less than $150 million. Like you said, like, look at every negotiation he's ever done. He doesn't budge on the price. And I think that he's probably smart to do that. And the only way that he could budge on price while selling imagine if he brought in Jesse Lingard and Tony Martial and got paid like 80 or 90 million for Harry Kane. He would take that all day. He'd look like a genius in front of the fans. The fans would be pumped about that at Tottenham. That's the whole point. You have to think about, how does he sell it to the fans? It's either 150 or he gets some exciting players to go along with it. And I think Jesse and Martial plus some cash, Levy can do that. And I think that is the only way a deal gets done, because no one's paying 150 million pounds. No one's paying the ask from Daniel Levy for Harry Kane. I agree with that. I agree. Like,
would you be pumped on that deal as a United fan? 90 million. So you've spent as much as Pogba plus two players to buy 27-year-old Harry Kane.
I would, because it is like, we're going for it next year. Like, we're coming for City next year. Like, that's what that means, right? We're coming for the title next year. And as a United fan, I don't think I've ever felt that we're coming for the title since Sir Alex Ferguson left. I thought, like, maybe there's a chance if things go our way. You know, that Mourinho season, we had a sniff. This year, we had half a sniff. But with Harry Kane, I think going into the season, we would be, like, title, like, contenders. Like, we are our favorites to win the title. And I think that's where we should always be. So maybe I just, like, want to have that vibe again. And that's why I think Kane does get us that vibe. And just thinking through it more has made me kind of realize, like, Harry Kane's not my favorite player. I like Son a lot more. I like Haaland a lot more. But I just kind of see how things could shape up and what he could do for United in the next 5 years, sir. And a title in the next 5 years with Harry Kane. A title in the next 5 years looks more likely with Harry Kane at Manchester United than him not. Sancho, I don't think moves the needle. 4%, 5%. Like, Varane moves the needle. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather move the needle to the title instead of, like, moving it to, like, Sancho might be the best player in the world in 4 years.
No, I think so. I hear you. But I also think, like, other players that might not be attackers might be the move in the needle. Like, I think an elite CDM, an elite CB, And then you leave the attack alone, honestly. It's like we got young, exciting attackers coming out of our ears. We have so many good
Champions League though. Champions League cups. We need a defender.
We need a better defender than Lindelof to play with Harry Maguire. Someone with pace. Someone with physicality that's gonna like complement him well. We need a Fred upgrade, right? A Yves Bissouma. He's ready to go. He'd be a great player playing next to Paul Pogba. We would look lights out. Harry Kane would be great, but you still have your defense is still an issue, sir. I mean, maybe Kane scoring a hat trick every game and we are just like scoring ridiculous amounts of goals, then you have to worry about it. But still, you're inevitably gonna rely on your defense at some point because there are always gonna be teams that have better attack than you.
Totally agree, sir. It's gonna be a long summer. We'll talk a lot about Harry Kane, but you know that was my big crystal ball rant there, and it's really exciting because I think we are there at that, like you said, a Varane or like a Rice. Imagine we won Varane Rice. That could be title contention as well. Like it's not just Harry Kane or bust. I'm just saying like we're kind of at that few big names away, few like key additions away from being like we're coming for the title. And I think it's probably too much to ask of the Glazers to do it all in one summer just because they suck and they're horrible and they just don't care about United. But we're there, man. We're there. And the next article kind of highlights that. Dan James edging closer to the door. I think he's going to leave, sir. I just think it's kind of Greenwood, Ahmad. You know, I don't know.
No, I think there's definitely could be legs in this, especially if we go the Sancho route, which is would be my preference. I also like Kane, but if we do sign another winger, if we sign Sancho, it looks like James just has to go because there's not going to be room for him. You know, you have got Greenwood. We have Martial who can play on the left. Marcus, of course, plays on the left. You got Ahmad Diallo. You got Anthony Alanga, what a player he looks to be, right? So much pace today and also could head a ball. So, Dan James put him the best cross I've ever seen him put in, but, you'd have to say it'd be hard to find space in the team going forward if we were to strengthen on the wing this summer. So we'll see, but likely.
You're totally right. I mean, if Sancho comes in, he's probably gone. That's totally right. I think the jury's out on Dan James. I can't say. I don't know if he's had enough of a shot at United. I think in certain types of setups, he's great. So I would think selling him is probably a little early, given his age and given his potential, so I'd like to keep him around at United, but you're right. I think he probably goes because again, the Glazers got to finance things. They got to sell him for 15 to 20, finance the Sancho signing. That's how they're going to be thinking about transfers. They're going to give one to get one. I think here over the summer, so cheap and good, don't even have highlight reels for some of these players. All right, sir, jump into fans' questions. Thank you for everyone who got us the hot, cheeky banter on Twitter, sir. Pulling it up as we speak. What a crazy end to the year it has been here. What a season for the American Red Devils. Appreciate everyone who listens and downloads the pod. At Dave Paws on Twitter, quote, was nice to watch a game without all that stress. Ole's done a fantastic job this season in second place. No away losses and a final to come. Not to mention debuts for all these youngsters. If they back him with three quality signings, we'll be challenging for the title. I think that is a great summary. Great results. Three quality signings, sir. I think we should be competing for the title.
You know what? A competent front office with cash could make that happen. Ole has a good eye for talent. The players that he's been wanting have turned out to be hitters. And the players we haven't gotten have also turned out to be hitters, too. So three players, dude. A CB, a CDM, and an attacker, whether it be a striker or a right winger. Like, you do that well, and we're off to the races. I don't think we will. I think we get one. One, like, stud will be in good shape. But, dude, we've Jughead. Jughead's in charge, bud. Matt Judge is still in charge.
Sir, just, little update here from a stats perspective. You want to talk about how summer is going to be crazy. Italian Series A. Milan is second right now on the live table. We're talking this is 89th minute stuff. Atlanta third. Juve is fourth. Napoli on the outs drawing a team I've never heard of. So Napoli choking. 1-1 is going to get Juventus into the Champions League. And then, sir, Ronaldo might not come back to Manchester United. That's why I'm watching the Serie A table here on the last day. Just hoping that somehow Juve will get bounced, Ronaldo will want to leave, and he'll want to come back to Manchester United, sir. Do I have issues?
Yeah, you do. I'm good. I'll take Kane. I don't need like personality Ronaldo. I think it'd be too much. It'd be like a just too much hot fire in one team.
He's probably nuts.
Probably. This guy's doing leg lifts on his yacht on vacation, bro. Guy is nuts.
Probably nuts.
Yeah, probably. Probably. Yeah.
Probably full nuts.
He's nuts. He's nuts.
Apparently, he wasn't on. He didn't play.
He didn't start.
Yeah, he didn't come on either. Wow. Huh. Who knows, sir? Next tweet here at Jordan_R, quote, is the Dan James experiment over in the summer? Great cross, but horrific one-on-one finish sums up his United career perfectly.
It really does. You know, it was the best times. It was the worst times. He shows some real class at times, but sometimes he makes the wrong decision. He's a good dude. He's a good player for a mid-table side. He'd be like a really good option for an Everton of the world. Maybe not good enough for United. He's a good squad player, but, you know, it depends on where we strengthen. If we don't buy a winger, I keep him. But if we do, then he's got to go. Because you know what? He wants to play. He deserves to play. He's a good player. He just probably isn't like the caliber of a team that wants to win the title, Champions League, Europa League first. Let's go. Let's go, Hansa Franz.
At Ty Kircher, quote, that was an entertaining match. Glad the lads got the finish with 3 points going into a final. All eyes on Wednesday. Hashtag glory, glory, Man United. Absolutely, Ty. At JDW300, for the B squad, that was a pretty stellar performance. Came out hungry, aggressive on the ball, and it paid off. Love seeing academy grads on the pitch. A big reason I love this club. Champions League secured. Season behind us with an undefeated away record. Now get psyched for Gdansk. It's a great point. The undefeated away record. Only done 4 times in the English top flight. I mean, that is incredible. You have to think no fans helped. But that is absolutely incredible. All the comebacks we made this season, the resilience in the side, that's why if you look at it, sir, the right additions get us to title contention.
I totally
right. Think about that. Undefeated away.
No, and we are home form let us down. So get fans, right? Maybe we're not quite as potent away because we got to deal with their fans. We got some pretty good away fans, these Manchester United squad, Manchester United club that we all love so much. Also, we're going to play better at home with more fans in front, you know, of Old Trafford, because playing in an empty stadium is no fun, especially with a leaky roof. So a lot to build on. 3 strong additions this team can challenge.
At United Dondo, quote, that cross from Dan James was beautiful. Even I could have headed that in. Fun game and great to see people getting some minutes. Hopefully spirits and confidence are high and we take that into the final. Hashtag Glazers out. At T Zoltsky, quote, I know we won silverware, but what an accomplishment to go unbeaten on the road. Love seeing all the youngsters. Now time to go win that piece of silverware to cap off the season. Damn, Leicester, you couldn't give us a good laugh. Hashtag Glazers out. I know. Leicester, Pippen, Chelsea would have been just the cherry on top, sir. The cherry I need to be able to text the Chelsea fan and tell him what's up.
You don't get everything you want. I'd rather have them beat them in the FA Cup final and have Tuchel lose his mind. That was worth it. You can't get everything. And hopefully, you know, we got to root for somebody. Maybe root for the game to get canceled. The Champions League final, that's going to be a rough one. I have to make other plans that day.
Yeah, sir. I think that's probably the way to go at the end of the day, is just ignore it and just pretend like it never happens. At GreekFest 1981, quote, thank you, sirs, for an excellent season. On to the Europa League trophy. No worries, sir. We were talking today, watching the game. Love the pod. Love the team. You know, absolutely love it. I mean, it's been a hell of a schedule, but, you know, absolutely love doing the podcast, talking United. That Harry Kane conversation, we would probably go another hour. It would just be like we'd be chatting on my deck or something.
Easy. Another hour about Harry Kane, difference maker or not, sir. I guarantee we'll be talking about it this summer. This is not the last time, not the first.
And for the new listeners, the reason why we started the podcast is when we got together with our wives, they always would tell us that we're not allowed to talk about Manchester United because that's all we would talk about if we went to like dinner, something like that. So the pod was born out of that, sir, out of just the hot banter of not agreeing on signing Harry Kane. This guy, big Sancho guy, hates De Gea.
Hates that. Yeah, get out of here, bro. Get out of here.
It's Cavani. He's got an agenda against Cavani.
Yeah. Number one Cavani fan over here. Get me a zebra. Number 7 zebra.
At Mbaya13, quote, happy with a win to end the Premier League season. Don't know what I'm going to do with myself until August. That said, let's get a fucking trophy on Wednesday, lads. Absolutely. Perfect tweet to end on. What are you going to do until August? I think you're going to listen to the Summer Muppetry podcast update, sir. Lots of debates about Harry Kane being the difference maker, Jadon Sancho mixing in with Rashford, Lingard, is he going to go? Interesting times at United. I think a big summer, one of the biggest summers for this club. I can remember where, you know, like a Pogba could go. Like that would, you know, then you got to get a replacement. You know, there's a lot of things that can happen to this team. And I hope we're able to keep Pogba, even if he leaves next year on a free. I think keeping him as a fan is what we need, especially that he's doing well with Ole. And so I think there's a lot of decisions like that that are going to be interesting because the Glazers would be interested in selling. They want to make the money. They want to finance the new transfers. So I think there's a lot of competing agendas from the Glazers and the fans. It's going to be an absolute wild summer, sir. We will keep everyone posted here after the final. Plenty of pods to come in the summertime.
We're going to be working overtime. Pod never sleeps. American Red Devils, hardest working pod in the world. I'll tell you that, sir. All summer long. Let's go. Every piece of transfer news you got, it will be on it.
Even the ones without highlights, sir. We cover them all down the table here, sir. But that is it. That's the podcast. Thank you to everyone who listens to American Red Devils. We have a big final coming up, sir. There's a big breakdown and a big summer regardless, plus Euros. It's going to be awesome summer. And the U.S. men's national team playing a lot as well. We'll keep you posted on all fronts. So American Red Devils is for fans, by fans. If you want to support independent fan content, check out our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. You can support us in many different ways. You can also check out our online store, www.AmericanRedDevils.com. Also check out our blog, great content there. And our online store is great merch, scarves, shirts, stickers, etc. Write a review on iTunes. And, sir, give us our top 10 downloads last 7 days.
Sir, number one, how you doing? How you doing? San Diego, California. Widenes, United Kingdom. Appreciate you. Columbus, Ohio. Martinez, California. Bronx, New York. What up, what up? Lakewood, Washington. Wesley Chapel, Florida. Dublin, Ireland. Appreciate y'all. Horsham, United Kingdom. And last but not least, Alajuela, Costa Rica. Appreciate all the American Red Devils and listening in, week out, around the globe. Couldn't do it without you. It all comes down to this, sir. It all comes down to a final in the fourth largest city in Poland. Let's go. The premier European trophy that everybody wants to be taking home. Forget the Champions League. It's all about Hans and Franz, baby. Let's go.
Sir, big final for United. I absolutely love this club. Let's add another trophy to the cabinet. Gdansk. We're putting it on the map. Hans and Franz. Let's do it, sir. As always.
Kicking a blue.